Welcome. We are so glad that you're here. We're glad that you decided to make Thrive Church a part of your life today. We're believing that God's going to speak to you through this message. But before we jump in, just remember that you can always connect with Thrive Church at thrivechurchonline.com. So without further wait, let's jump right into today's message. So I get an opportunity to preach this morning with Pastor Tracy, my ride or die buddy. And yeah, so man, we're excited. So for the last, this will be the third week, we're in Guard Your Garden. And so first week, just kind of a recap, this is your first week with us. Welcome all of our visitors and all the folks attending with us for the first time. So first week we came in and we just had all these gigantic mums, and we basically took you all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And basically God came down and he put Adam in control of his garden. And here's what we believe. We believe that just like God gave Adam dominion over the garden, he gave you dominion over your own life. Where it goes and what happens in your life ultimately is a God-given choice and a God-given right. And you can grow and you can tend your garden because we believe that your life is something that God gives you dominion over. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't have his hand on it, that God doesn't bless your life, and that God doesn't create opportunities. But that's just saying there are things that are in your life that you can control. And a lot of the things that we get frustrated with aren't things God did. They're things that we do or didn't do. We took it a step further. We basically said that if you'll narrow your life down to four things, say one flower is your spiritual life, one flower is family, one is health, and one is education or whatever. You pick your own four flowers, that when you figure out what you really want to garden, that you can grow anything that you want to grow. That took us into week two, and it was sowing and reaping. We believe that sowing and reaping is a universal principle, meaning that just like gravity exists, whether you believe in it or not, God said this, such as a man sows, that alone will he reap. We believe this. We brought some seed out and a mattock, and we just believe this, that sometimes sowing seed is a lot of hard work. If you really want to intentionally grow something in your life, if you want to grow a good marriage or good kids don't happen by accident. If you don't believe this, please leave here and let's go to Walmart. Good kids do not happen by accident. Yeah. That's right. Good marriages don't happen by accident. Good finances don't happen by accident. Good health doesn't happen by accident. It's a lot of hard work. But the thing of it is God gives us dominion so we can grow and be whatever God wants us to grow and be. We just have to commit to it and take dominion over it. Does that make any sense? So that brings us into the third week. So if you're intentionally growing stuff in your life and you realize that you can take control of your life, so now you're hopefully by week three, you're starting to grow some good relationships up and some spiritual progress. And right, so you're really starting to get where you want to, but now you've got this garden going. We believe this. We believe that you cannot guard your garden without fences. So we're going to take a quick look. As I set my office and I was like, man, how do we talk about fences? It's real easy to define a fence till you get ready to stand in front of a couple hundred people on a weekend and tell them exactly how to define a fence. So I went to a good friend of mine. His name's Webster. He's not the short guy that I grew up with. Some of you guys will get that if you're from the 80s. If not, whatever. So here's a fence. A fence is a barrier. It's a railing, an upright structure, typically of wood or wire, enclosing an area of ground. It's to mark a boundary. It's to control access and to prevent escape. It's a guard or a guide on a tool. Now, I want to take you back just a little bit and highlight a couple things. First of all, Webster said this. You got to understand that if you're going to plant a fence in your life, that it's going to be a barrier. It's going to mark a boundary. It's going to control access, and it's going to prevent escape. It's going to be a guide, and it's going to be a guard. Here's what we believe. We believe that when you begin to grow a garden, that there are all kinds of things that come to attack your garden. A fence does two things. One, it keeps bad things out. But it also keeps good things in. So when you really begin to establish fences in your life, man, it really acts as a guide. It keeps you growing and going in the direction that you're supposed to.
That's right. And so today we're not going to really be talking about physical fences like hedges and moats with alligators and things like that, but we're going to be talking about your personal invisible lines, your property lines. So I want you to imagine with me, if you will, if someone put you in charge of a piece of property and they said, I want you to tend to this property. Anything that happens on this property is your responsibility. You're to take care of it. It's all under your control. Well, and they didn't tell you the property lines. Where would you be? How would you know where your place stops and where something else begins? It would be hard to know that. So I want to use an example. We have a neighbor. We like our neighbors, but we don't like our neighbor's dog. This dog is very invasive. he lives on a underground collar, an underground fence, but when his collar battery goes down, he loses his boundaries and his mind. And he comes over to our house, leaves us things in the yard that we don't really want in our yard. He barks at us like we don't belong there, and he torments all of our animals. And so I think, you know, I can't really blame that dog for coming into my yard because I don't have a fence around my yard. And your life's the same way. You have to guard your life and your garden. You have to draw lines of expectation of what you want to keep in and the things that you want to keep out.
See, and a lot of people, here's the thing. A lot of people come into church today and they're frustrated because their life isn't going the way they want them to. They've got people, they've got influences, they've got stuff that seems like, you know, hey, I want to grow this garden, but all this. And what happens is it begins to root bitterness and frustration and all that stuff in our life. And so what hopefully our prayer is today is that when you leave here, you're going to understand how to really put a fence up in your life, how to really begin to create a boundary so that you don't have people coming and pooping in your life.
Amen.
Because some, can I just be real plain because I want to? You ever feel like people just crap on you all the time? Can I be honest with you? Without a fence, you should expect nothing less. But if you sit there and go, you know what, it's time for a life change. It's time that my life moved in a different direction. I'm really tired of feeling this way. I'm going to take dominion over what God told me to take care of. And I'm going to change the way that people interact with me. And I'm going to take control, maybe for the first time ever. I'm going to take control of my life in the direction that God's called me to.
I want to use a good example. Most everybody knows the story in Luke 10 about the Good Samaritan. So the Good Samaritan came along. There was a man on the side of the road who'd been injured. He'd probably been beat up by some other people and stolen his money and everything. So he's laying on the side of the road. The Good Samaritan comes along and he takes care of the man. He tends to his injuries. He puts him up in a place to stay. He tells the innkeeper, you know, I've got business to handle, but I'll be back to take care of everything. You take care of him as he needs to be taken care of. So I like to think, you know, what if the Good Samaritan had not had boundaries? What if he had been persuaded by this man? Maybe this man would say, no, you can't leave me. You have to stay here, and you have to take care of me, and you have to do this for me, and I need this, and I need that. Well, rather than going along and handling the business that probably gave the man the resource to come back and take care of this person, he would have stayed, and he would have let this man cross his fences, and there could have been a completely different outcome from that.
Absolutely, because here's what we think. We think most of the time, to be a good Christian, please everybody, if you're going to say good Christian, always put that in air quotes. Because generally when people say good Christian, it doesn't have anything to do with what Christ actually taught. Because what we're taught is that if you're a good Christian, you have to do what everybody wants you to. You have to answer every need that everybody ever brings to you. And you have to basically just be at everybody's beck and call because God calls us to be servants, right? Would you agree that not only in the story of the Good Samaritan that Jesus taught, but would you agree that Jesus was probably the best Christ follower there ever was? Because, well, he was Christ. He was kind of the standard. So here's what happens. Jesus finishes doing in Matthew chapter 14, 22 through 23. Jesus has all of his disciples and this multitude here. He's done all these miracles. He's fed people. He's done his crazy stuff. And the Bible says this. The Bible says, and then he looked at his disciples and he put them in a boat and he sent them to the other side. Have you ever had people come to your house and they've been there a long time? So you go get their coat. And you start, basically, you're going, hey, you know, you got a long drive home. We live 3 miles from here. Yeah, but it's a long 3 miles. You know, do you need to go start your car to warm it up? It's summer. Well, you need air conditioning. You need something. Let me get your coat for it. Right. Basically, that's what Jesus did. He basically just dismissed his disciples. And then he turns to the multitude and he goes, you don't have to go home, but you got to go. Thank you for coming. Then the third thing it says is that Jesus went away on a mountain and he prayed. I want you to watch the three phases of what just happened. First of all, do you know the disciples wanted to be with Jesus, especially a couple of them. You know, the Apostle Peter loved Jesus because he was always asking him stupid things and brilliant things all at the same time. Yeah. You know, John writes a book of the Bible and says, and John, the one whom Jesus loved. People always say, well, you know, Jesus loved Peter more than anybody, loved John more than anybody else because he asked him to take care of his mom. He did all this. And the Bible even says that. And I'm like, yeah, but who wrote it?
True.
We've got a teenager that comes here that every time she sees me, I put my arm around her. And I say, tell everybody who you are. And she goes, I'm your favorite. Okay. You're the first one to say it. Enjoy it. John was the first one to say, I'm the one Jesus loves more than anybody else. Okay, ride that pony. I'm good with it. But watch, so he sends the disciples away. And you know the disciples wanted to hang out with Jesus, right? I don't know why he's sending us away in this boat. Can't believe he didn't love her, right? Because anytime you put a fence up, people are going to start complaining about your fence.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
But are you going to tell me that Jesus did wrong? No. Well, then you got the multitudes. There were still needs in the multitude. Well, Jesus, I came here and I wanted to see you turn more water into wine. And right, we can really have a party then. Come on, Jesus. Right? Because people always want you to do stuff that may not be in the will of God. Never mistake a good idea and a God idea. They're not the same thing. And then Jesus makes a decision that's even beyond dismissing people. Jesus said, you know what I really need to do? I need to go get alone with God. I'm no good to the disciples, and I'm no good to the multitude if I'm not spiritually in a place. If I let you all pull for me and dictate to me rather than me taking dominion over my own life and building some fences and keeping you from pooping on me a little bit, then you know what I've got to do? I've got to make sure that in the process that I stay with the Father where I'm supposed to. So here's the thing, man. I don't know how your fences are, but the minute you make a decision, and hopefully we're showing you that you can be a good Christian and have some boundaries, have some fences. Mm-hmm. But to take it a step further, that once you decide that you're going to have fences, the minute you put a fence up, you're going to have a robber. The reason we call this series Guard Your Garden is because you're going to have to defend your fences.
That's right. You've got to fortify your fence to make sure that it's strong enough to hold if somebody tries to step over that boundary. I like the example of Jacob and Esau in Genesis 27. You know, Jacob's name meant deceiver. And so he cohorted with his mother and deceived his father, stole from his brother Esau his own birthright. So, you know, think about how different that would be maybe if, you know, Esau planted this garden and then Jacob just basically, you know, jumped over his fence and took that birthright from him.
Because here's the thing. Here's what I believe. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that you have a birthright. The minute you let your fences down, your birthright can get stolen. You can have a right to things with God. You can have a calling and a destiny on your life. But if you allow your birthright to be stolen through a lack of fences, man, you can have your future aborted without you even knowing about it. Because when he sold his birthright for just a bowl of soup, he never realized the consequence of not going, you know what, man, no. Matter of fact, Jesus talks to Peter, and I love this in Matthew 16, and he asked Peter, he said, well, who do you say that I am? Peter goes, man, I think you're the Son of God. And Jesus looks at him and goes, man, I tell you, man didn't reveal this to you, but rather the very presence of God showed you this. The Holy Spirit must have revealed this to you for you to recognize that I'm not just a good teacher, that I am the Son of God. And then Jesus starts talking about his crucifixion, the fact that he's going to die. Now, Peter's a very passionate man. I mean, Peter is one of those ride or die kind of friends. Matter of fact, you're going to find out later on in the garden that when they came to arrest Jesus, Peter tried to stab a dude. He'll cut a fool. And he missed and cuts the guy's ear off. A whole different story I'll tell you about a flopping ear later. But anyway, so Peter's here, and he goes on, and Jesus starts talking about his crucifixion. And when he does, Peter goes, no, man, you can't do that. And he starts trying to talk him out of dying for the sins of all of us. When he does, Jesus looks at him and goes, get behind me, Satan. Now, I'm not saying unless the Lord tells you to tell the people in your life that are trying to get you to go down a path that you don't need to, don't call him Satan necessarily. But I do think this. I do think that Satan is involved in trying to get you not to tend your garden. that if there are things that you're trying to grow and there's seeds you're trying to plant and things that you're trying to grow up in your life to become more Christ-like, that those things aren't going to happen by accident, and the things that come to rob you and keep you from doing that, man, your life is not built by what you say yes to as much as it's built by what you say no to.
That's right.
Because here's the thing, in order to say yes to something, you have to have the space to say yes to it. You can't grow a family if you're constantly saying no to them. You can't grow a spiritual life if you're constantly saying no to prayer and to going to church and to reading your Bible, the things that make us Christ followers. So it's not only what you say no to, but it's what you say yes to. As a matter of fact, Jesus taught this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. He teaches this. He said, "But let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything else more comes from the evil one." It comes from the devil. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to say no.
No.
I want you to look at your other neighbor and say no.
No.
If you're a girl, say no with a little head bob.
No.
Yeah, y'all, anyway. I'm going to teach you something that I did not learn until very recently. And that's this. No is a complete sentence. You don't have to put anything else on top of no. Now, can I tell you, here's just, this is free, this is an asterisk, you can write this in your notes. Do you want to know how to determine if you've got a fence robber? When that person, when you say no and they ask you for clarification, they're trying to rob from you. What they're looking at you saying is, you have to explain it so that I can determine if your reason not to do this is valid. What they want to do is they want to begin to take dominion over your garden.
That's right.
And when you recognize that, when you look at, when I tell somebody, hey, can you do this? And I say no, and then they want an explanation, I dismiss them. My yes is yes and my no is no. It doesn't need an explanation. Here's the other thing. How many times do you ever say yes? Please don't raise your hand. You'll tell on yourself. But how many times does somebody ask you to do something? What you want to say is no. But what your mouth says is yes. And then you become bitter about it. I can't believe. Here's what I wonder. Do you ever wonder that maybe the thing inside of you that keeps telling you not to agree to do it would be the Holy Spirit? That the Holy Spirit loves fences and He loves guardrails and He loves boundaries? And that maybe He's sitting there and He's going, no, 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 no. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't yell. God will never yell at you. He'll just whisper in this still small, no, no, no. And then He hears you go, yes. Do you ever wonder if He does this? And looks up at the Father and the Son sitting in heaven and goes, why am I even here? What? Do you see that? You died for this. I'm not saying that's you. That's the way I feel. I'm just being honest with you. But something, I actually got roped into something that I agreed to do 6 months ago. And the people were supposed to call me back and let me know about it. And they called me 2 days before the event. And were like, hey, are you still doing this? And I'm like, yeah. And then for 2 days I complained 24/7 about having to do it. And then I started reading this scripture text. I'm like, yeah, yes is yes and no is no. And anything more comes from the evil one. It's not their fault. I let them poop in my garden. I can't complain when I step in it if I didn't have a fence up. So the second thing is Proverbs 4:23 says this. It says, keep your heart vigilant, for it flows the springs of life. He said, man, be sure that you've got your fences up, because you'll turn bitter from the inside out. If you don't fence off the things that God's really trying to grow in your life, what's going to happen is it's going to choke the life out of you. Man, your life is way too valuable to let God not speak into and the enemy jump your fence and choke what He's trying to grow out of you.
So in order to be able to say yes, our yes be yes and our no be no, I want to challenge a couple of the youth that are in here. About a year ago, we talked about what goes in a fence to let things pass through is a gate. And if you remember, you're the gatekeeper. And we have to remember that we are the gatekeeper. To be able to say, no, you can't come in, or yes, you can come in, or you have to get out, those kind of things. They allow a passage so that we can put things in their proper places. So how do you set a Christian boundary? That's a good question that I actually had to ponder when I thought about that, because sometimes we think, well, can I set limits and boundaries and still be a good Christian? Or what if I upset somebody with my boundaries, and are boundaries selfish? Those are the kind of things we have to ask, because we're taught as Christians incorrectly sometimes that because we have boundaries, we're not good Christians, and we're ingrained to be humble. And I think you mentioned it before, you know, we're supposed to do everything everybody needs to do whenever they want to do it, you know, at all cost. And that's just simply not biblical, and it's not healthy. It not only leads to bitterness and resentment, but it can lead to things, if it's deep-seated and not dealt with, to anxiety, depression, addiction, guilt, relational issues. The list can go on.
I'm going to interrupt you.
Sure.
I want you to look at the person beside you, and I want you to say this. As a Christian, it's okay to say no.
It's okay to say no.
Look at your other neighbor and go, no.
No.
Okay, now you practice. Go ahead. We can move on to the next part of the...
So God set boundaries. He set boundaries for and about himself. So he said when he created everything, he said, you know, this is who I am and this is who I'm not. And this is what I allow and this is what I don't allow. So like sin, you know, sin's not allowed in God's garden. But love is allowed. I mean, God is love, and he cultivates love in his garden, and he lets that flow out of his gate to us out of his garden. So if God set boundaries, then of course he wants us to set boundaries, and we're responsible to do that. In Galatians 6:2, I'm going to read Galatians 6:2 and then Galatians 6:5 immediately following that. It says that we should bear one another's burdens in verse 2. And then three verses later in verse 5, it says we're supposed to bear each other's, or your very own load. So if you say, okay, that's contradictory. You know, if I'm only supposed to carry my own load, how do I bear other people's burdens? Well, God defines that for us. He says that your load is basically what he gives you daily to handle. It's kind of like if you think about a backpack. It's your backpack. It's your daily thing that he said, I won't give you too much. You'll be able to handle it. I'll give you the strength for it, and I'll also give you the resource for it to do it on your own. So your backpack's your load. But if you think about a burden is more like a boulder. A boulder is something that comes unexpectedly, falls in your path. You can't get around it. You can't push it. You can't pull it. You need help. And those are the situations when brothers and sisters in Christ should come together and help other people. Just like the Good Samaritan is a perfect example of how he was able to help someone else, but he still kept his own fences and tended to his own thing and carried his own load as well.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Here's where I think a lot of Christians get off. We try to help people with their backpack.
Mm-hmm.
Not their boulders. We try to do the backpack work. So look at this. So a mom comes home from having a baby. Yay! But she's too sore to cook. Mm-hmm. And we all know that if we trust the husband to cook, mama is going to be net malnourished by the time she heals. That's a boulder for that family. So what do? We rally the brothers and sisters. We rally the troops. And we go, hey, can we do something here, right? When we find out that kids in Haiti cannot, you know, are going home without clothes, that's not a backpack issue. That's a boulder issue. We can help lift that. But what God says is this. Remember week one we talked about the circles, and you had to figure out what God put inside your circle and what God put outside your circle to figure out what the domain of your garden looked like. What you've got to ask yourself as part of your fences is this a boulder issue, or is this a backpack issue? Because I have people all the time call me with backpack issues like the world's on fire. Now, a good fence will keep backpacks out. Because here's the thing, because I have domain over my own life, I get to decide what's my emergency. Do you know the amazing thing about your life is you get to decide what is an emergency. How many people get frustrated, please don't raise your hand, at work when somebody calls you with their emergency that's really not your emergency? And then you get frustrated. And you know what? We carry that same practice on throughout all of our life. Mm-hmm. Mother-in-law calls, mom calls, grandma calls, Uncle Johnny twice removed down the road, who's not really your uncle. You just called him uncle because some weird southern thing. And now all of a sudden, they want you to bear their backpack, not their burden. And what it does is it begins to rob from the family that you're trying to grow, and the spiritual life that you're trying to grow, and the financial development, and the physical, and the stuff that God's really trying to grow, because nobody respects your boundaries. Nobody respects your fences. You know the great thing about a fence? I did this off camera first service. I can talk to you over a fence. I can talk to you over a fence, but I won't let you crawl over my fence. Before I got ready to do first service, my dad actually goes to church here. He goes, son, don't fall against some pickets. You stab yourself. But you know what? Isn't that the way a good fence really should work? Is that when people try to cross them, they feel the effects of them? Not because you're trying to hurt people. I mean, I didn't put this up going, hey, let's see if we can get a kid to fall on it. Right? Like, that's not healthy pastor talk. But if somebody tries to step over it, they may realize that it's there. Well, when people try to step over places that God doesn't really want them to tread in your life, they should feel the effects of that. And here's the thing. It's okay for people to leave not happy with you. God did not call us to make people happy. Sometimes you setting godly boundaries will make people unhappy. When Jesus looked at the disciples and said, all right, get in the boat and leave, I guarantee you they were complaining about it. When he dismissed the multitude, they got mad about it. When Jesus went by himself, he was probably like, God, why did you tell me to do that? All these people are mad at me. And God's like, Jesus, I called you here to teach people the truth, not to make them happy. So as we set boundaries, man, we got to ask this. One, what's inside God's will? Second, what kind of world do you want to live in? I don't mean like globally, because like that's screwed up enough. You know, a lot of it's screwed up because people don't respect each other's boundaries.
That's right.
Can I be honest with you? If I come to your house and you don't use cabinets, I don't care. I don't live there. If you don't want to vacuum, if you don't want to pick up after your dog that's in your house, I mean, I'm not going to stay long. But isn't that really how you want to live? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not coming back the second time. I'll talk to you outside. I'll talk to you over the fence. But I have a boundary about you may want to live that way, but I don't. What you're really saying is God gave me dominion to choose how I live. So let me ask you a question. If you really today chose how you were going to live and then guarded it with the fence, that's why we made this whole series, Guard Your Garden. How much different would your life look? Hello, man, I'm trying to grow my spiritual thing up here, and you're like trying to step on it, so I'll talk to you over the fence, but you don't get to come in. And maybe you got some people running around in your garden that you just need to open the fence and hand them their coat.
Yeah.
Maybe you've got some movies you need to hand them their coat and tell them, go. We started watching this TV show, and about halfway through it's a series, and about three into it, my wife looks over at me and goes, I can't watch this anymore. And I'm like, yeah, three series. She said, no, it's not that. I mean, that's kind of long, but it's an hour and a half. But I just don't like the way this is making me feel. And I said, well, we'll fire it. And I deleted it off our watch list. Goodbye. Close the gate. Does this make sense? What is God calling you to grow? Maybe you say, you know what, man, what I need to plant is salvation in my life. Maybe I need to get right with God. Maybe I need to set some boundaries with the in-laws or with my parents or with my spouse or with my employer or with, this works in every aspect of your life. Because when you take dominion, when you say, man, I'm going to choose to serve God. See, there are things that in the garden God did for Adam and Eve. He created atmosphere and he gave them oxygen and food, and right? But then he gave them dominion to manage what he gave them. You've been given so much that maybe you've managed or maybe you've mismanaged. But if you would begin to guard your garden, man, you'd be surprised what God could not only do in your life, but he could do through your life.
Right.
As we come to close, every head down, every eye closed, nobody looking around, man. We're not going to embarrass you. This is at home. This is online. This is no matter how you take this content in. If you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm here, and man, the first step for me is I need to get my life right with God. all across this building, all across the internet. If that's you this morning, will you just slip your hand up? Will you just say, you know what, Pastor, I'm not going to call you down. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody, thank you. Anybody else? Just say, you know what, man, I need to get my world right with the Lord. Whether you raised your hand or didn't, whether it's online or those that raised their hand in house, here's what I want you to do, no matter who you are across this place. Will you just pray this prayer out loud with me, with your neighbor? We're all going to pray it together. And man, we believe that whether you raised your hand or not, if you pray this prayer and you believe it, that you're asking God to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior, and that this will make you right with God, and then you start the journey of developing that. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, today I ask you into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. And make me right with you.
Make me right with you.
God, today,
I take control
of the things you've given me.
The things you've given me.
My life is in your hands.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Now, we believe that if you prayed that prayer today, that you gave your life to the Lord, that you are born again. Romans says this, that if a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then he shall be saved. But man, that's the beginning, not the culmination. Man, you start this journey. Man, once you're saved, you're like, man, if I could only get this stuff growing. And then you get that stuff growing, you figure out you'll spend a lifetime growing all kinds of stuff. And just like a garden, man, when you start bearing fruit, you know the first thing you do, anybody ever had a garden and the season came in for whatever you're growing? The first thing you do is this, is you get enough that you know, when our first tomato came in, we went and cut it. We were so excited, like, you know, it was like this big and like, you know, it was great. And then they all started coming in. Then we really started bearing fruit. Then you go, there ain't no way I can eat all these tomatoes by myself. So what do? Give them away. Hey, you want one? You want one? And you always run into people who go, no, I've got 500 myself. I can't find people, right? Now you understand Jesus. You said, I want to grow a little bit in your life. And man, when it first comes in, you're going to be like, whoa, I did something good, right? And then all of a sudden, it's going to start coming. The success is going to become more and more apparent. And then you're going to get so excited about what God's given you, you're going to want to give it away because the fruit's so good. You know, man, my wife and I used to, you know, we were about divorced. And then we got right, and now God. Man, my finances were, but now God. Man, let me share this truth with you. So, man, we just want to say that we believe that God growing in your life. Thrive Church believes three things. That we want to be a place where people come to know God. Even if people don't agree with anything we say, we want this to be a place where you can come and let your head connect with God, that you can gain understanding. Hopefully, our prayer is that you'll come to know God as your Savior. And that the next step in that is that you would grow in God. And really, we don't believe you'll ever leave growing in God, because growing in God to the fullest means you're with God. So we don't encourage that. We try to keep people here as long as we can. But that at a certain point of growing in God, that you'll know and grow enough about God that you'll want to share. And we believe that you should go and do something for God. And that looks like a lot of different things. So the three steps for us in spiritual maturity are know, grow, and go. Mm-hmm. So man, we hope that God fulfills that. But along the way, you got to guard your garden. To say yes to some things means you're going to have to say no to other things. But man, the yeses and nos are worth it if you grow in your life what you really are destined to grow. You received this today. Folks, join us online. We thank you so much. To the folks in house, I just want to pray over you. God, we just thank you for allowing us to be here today. God, for allowing us to set those fences in our lives. God, we thank you for an opportunity, God, to grow what you've given us dominion over. God, we just believe that in the hearts and lives of the hearers of this word, God, that you'll embed this in their heart. God, that you'll let it bring forth a harvest. God, we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory for what you do in and through it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. We pray that today's message challenged you, that it inspired you, that most of all, in some way, that God used it to bring you closer to Him. As always, if you'd like to connect with us, you can do so by going to Thrive Church Online. We'd love to hear how God is using this podcast to impact, challenge, and change your life. You can also find out more information about our church, how to support financially, or get involved in any way that God's leading you. Thank you so much, and we hope that you join us again really soon.